Hey, what's poppin'? It's Thursday. We've got the crowd in today to help celebrate the end of 25 years of 25 years of me. Me! 25 years of me!
You!
We had no one else to start the celebration, so I started myself. I saw the Arthur Abrations, 20 years, 25 years.
Yeah.
30 years, 35 years. Well, my celebration, too. It wasn't fair somehow. I had to get up early every morning, and I had to start my own celebration. What is this?
Aw.
You're right.
Bullshit.
It was really good listening. It was good radio.
I thought it was really good, too. I really did. Starting with Zip, I thought that was really...
Yeah.
That was sort of the... That was probably the peak, but TC was fantastic.
Yeah.
I re-listened to that the other day. It was...
Mickey too.
Mickey was great. 539 comments for Mark Patrick.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
They weren't all Mark, but it was a lot after Mark was on. So, yeah, Mark and Zip really just knocked it out, and Mickey too. And Skin's coming on today. Joey's trying to get a hold of Methane. Mr. Methane?
Oh, really?
Which would have been great. And we're going to have to work that out because we can't make international calls on this system. I don't know what the fucking problem is.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Did you email him? Just email him.
Well, no, I mean to talk to him,
actually,
though.
Oh, well, he can't call?
What's that?
He can't make international calls either.
I don't know. I don't know if my phone can receive international calls. Sure can. He never got that far. But you know what, actually? Did he? He never called us.
No. We always called him.
Your cell phone blows.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Oh, well. Mark put in a box of Riffabilia.
I went through... Like, it's literally a tub of stuff I've saved. I save newspaper clippings and stuff like that. Different emails. The first thing was this hunk of junk.
Into the box of memorabilia.
The last time you saw this, and do you know what it is?
Is that the log?
That's the drop book. Before we had a searchable feature, we had this.
Wow. Holy shit. Are the stump the staff rules in there?
No, I did come across those, though. I left those at home.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Takes a long time to get through them.
But it's just, you know, so like on the cover, you can tell like when we first moved from this to a searchable function because it's like the Tommy Lee drops. So it's whatever was hot at the time was right on the top one.
Which Tommy Lee drops are we talking?
Everything's cool, man. It crushed. Dude, it was sick. I can't believe it, man. I'm tripping.
It's got to be like 97, 8?
I think a little later. Then right here is the Jim South drops. Arch Your Butt Towards Me. That was number 16679. 16697 was Put Your Hand Up So I Can See Your Bust.
Your bust.
16698 is Give Me a Little Smile.
Put Your Other Hand Up Higher So I Can See Your Bust.
22342 is Bikini Pays $100.
Now, if you're bikini, it's $100. If you're topless, it's $200.
Okay.
If it is centerfold, it's $5,000. And Bing Did Bond, we're off the plate. Right?
Creep.
There's a bunch of cruise drops there. Merv the Perv page.
Yes!
23670 is AKA My Wiener. But I just look at all these pages.
You know those drops?
I don't know why I have this anymore.
The drops that Jay was just playing remind me of Hef's drops when he's talking about what makes somebody, you know. Her breasts are natural, which means they sag.
Right.
Because her breasts are full and natural.
Yes. They do sag.
Physically,
oh, remember her
torso is a little too long.
Torso.
Remember this guy's from Cops. We called him the helicopter guy, the guy who.
Oh yeah, yeah.
LCD, PCP, LSD, PCP, heroin, coke. Yeah.
Exactly.
What else you want to know? And then, all right, I surrender.
Those are great drops.
Two shoes for you.
A lot of those drops will make it. I'm telling you.
I know.
It'll
well, look
time.
How big this book is. We should post a picture.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, there's all the Eric Dickerson on Monday Night Football. I can't even turn the pages.
Those were good.
Dirt. Just trying to see what was in the back. But we used to just flip through this during the show.
I can't believe
God.
That worked as well as it did. I still remember carts flying over my head.
Yeah, carts were, I mean, you just didn't have as many, but that was just as easy. You just
they worked remarkably well.
Yeah.
Except the wall space was really becoming limited.
Yeah.
I mean, we covered almost every wall. It was really funny, too, when somebody else wanted some wall space. It was like, what? We can't give any wall space. Are you kidding me?
Remember that loud circular rack? Every time you turn, it was like...
There were so many complaints about that.
Here's one that's from The Bachelor, and it's the NASCAR. It's like a fine wine.
Mm.
Great drop.
I love the NASCAR as a fine one. They have looked for the... I have looked
Paradise Hotel
low.
Drops.
Oh, boy. Wow. Oh, wait. Is that Mandy? Mandy!
I think she was Temptation Island, believe it or not. I don't know what Paradise Hotel was. And then I was
Sandy,
also...
out of that trailer!
I came through this... came across this big, like, folder of old stories and went through it, and Jastrozab's number's in there.
Ah!
I can bring it. Oh, oh! No, I might have it on me if you want to call her. But
you could possibly hear the most piercing voice in the history of the human voice.
Do you ever get involved in NASCAR? It's like tasting a fine wine. Once you taste fine wine, you don't want the $3 stuff.
Stuff.
Here's some other stuff. Here's your promo photo. Apparently I had a bunch of those. So
hey! Look at that. Well...
I was showing true to this dude. You this is from Metro Times in 96, the Get a Life ad.
Wow,
where you did
cool.
the Get a Life
oh, yeah.
contest. That was a great contest.
Yeah, it was.
You gave away so much stuff.
Was that the Rock Room? Was the Rock Room involved in that?
Aren't there jet skis? There's a whole list of crap that you guys gave away on there.
Remember we basically gave away a Rock Room? Or was that just part of the...
I think that's part of the Get a Life.
Okay.
Which is what a cool promotion. No one would ever do that anymore.
Ugh, no.
You know, I... Oh, boy. Should I bring this up?
Oh, go ahead.
A little tricky. I think there was a debate over the valuation of the
Get
a Life contest, yes. We gave away prizes valuing
$101,000. Yeah.
I think a little
less.
I think someone tried to say it wasn't worth $101,000. Because we go by retail value.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
So you can jack that up.
Well, that's how you have to do it. I mean, for tax purposes and for a million reasons, if you do it the other way, I think you get shit on. So yeah, I think maybe the things weren't as gracious as they could have been.
If I remember. Was the winner upset?
The recipients?
Possibly.
Oh. Possibly. Wow. I wonder where that winner is today.
That may have been the rub.
Mm. Oh, really?
I think so. I don't know.
Come on. It's got to be in the fine print, though. Something along the lines.
Oh, I know. We didn't do anything wrong. We did not do anything wrong. No. But there was, I'm strictly alleging. I'm covering my ass here. I'm not entirely sure. I think I remember that conversation. And I think it's been long enough that I can say that.
Nice winning it. Well, it's been 20 years.
Yeah, it's
years.
Something you got that was free, right?
Oh, yeah. It was sure. It was
a ton
free.
Of stuff.
So,
you got so much stuff. There was so much stuff
there's
in there.
There's a list there on that ad. I just like the caricatures of you and Mike.
Mike was so easy to caricature.
I know. You saw Dick Burton and had longer hair.
Oh,
or
boy.
Tom Bender and had longer hair.
And you've got, oh, yeah, you're right. You got Mike, what is... If it rocks, and Mike says, it's on the riff. Did we ever say that?
No.
That way?
No,
never.
Never. Uh-uh.
In sequence? You didn't finish each other's sentences?
No. Ever? Did not happen. Not that sentence.
Here's the card from 98 that they sent out in sales when you came back from your
direct
back
mail.
Surgery.
Hey.
Do you remember that? Did you ever see that?
No. Uh-uh.
I think Heidi probably put that together. Yeah.
Then there's...
Hallmarks of Heidi. It's cool, right?
Oh, this is pretty good, actually. You heard rumors. The back thing was just a cover story. He wanted to do sports. He was going to a larger market. He hated his partner. He hated Detroit. Well, all of us here at the Riff have two words. Drew's back. Yeah.
That?
I found the article...
You wanted to do sports?
No. Oh. No, I did not.
Oh. I know, but that was on there?
Yeah.
Wow.
You heard the rumors.
Found the article in 08 when it was official you weren't coming back, but what I brought in, what made me mad is the news put in comments from the readers in the article, and Jeff J. Nadjuk emailed in about
White Boy Rick?
Huh?
White Boy Rick?
No, but at the end he writes...
Just kidding.
He also chided producers Mark and Mike for lack of humor! I've saved all these years because it made me angry.
The lack of humor said that?
Yeah, that they sent an email into the... Detroit News, because of course it was email then. Then there's the article here when we put out blah 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 blah.
But yeah.
What was interesting is, do you remember the names we talked about besides blah 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 for it?
Blah blah blah.
You know, I would know them if you said them for sure.
There's two. The runner ups were Classy and Sexy. That was gonna be the name of the CD
from the drop.
Yeah, or That's the Way I Grew Up and That's the Way I'm Gonna
Be.
That's gonna be the name of the CD. It made me laugh.
You can't just say it like that. You have to say it's gonna be.
That's really, you have to see that that edition of Cops, I think, to really appreciate that guy.
I wish I could.
He was such a rebel. He was so angry.
Can you do Cops requests?
That's where I grew up, and that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah. God, I wish you could, because there's so many. There's some cops that I just am dying to see. I want to see the you know, you ain't dead.
She was just on.
What?
Someone tweeted us. They taped like 6 seconds of that episode when it was on Spike. They're like, it's on right now. And the clip they showed, because I didn't know what clip it was until you watch it. And it starts with this lady on there, and she's complaining about something. And then the camera turns left, and Grandma's sitting there, and she goes, ah, you ain't dead.
She does
that little laugh.
She's
I'll see if I can find that.
She's referring to her daughter-in-law, who's been beaten by her son.
Wow. Yes.
And she's suggesting that the daughter-in-law is exaggerating her injuries. That's what she says. Yeah. Oh, you ain't dead.
Ah, you ain't dead.
Granny. You better find someplace to stay, because she ain't staying here.
Get out my trailer.
Yeah, watch out.
And then I found a complaint email.
Do your moms defend their kids, Mark?
No matter what, I know.
Extreme circumstances.
I know. Apparently, I'll just have emotional support.
Rosie Fellhauer appeared on the program last night.
She did?
She did.
Oh, cool. I mean, we've been talking about her for a while. So.
Oh, yeah.
How was it?
What happened was, we were talking about the serial killer that killed 7, and his mom was on 48 Hours, basically defending him, saying that, he was nice to that girl he held hostage. You know, he gave her food, and, you know, she was good to her.
The woman chained in the container? Oh, nice.
And, he said that. He said she had a chain around her neck. She said, oh, no, he didn't do that. And then the reporter said, well, what about the 3 people he just killed? And she goes, oh, they were smarting off. So I was pointing off that, you know, you can always count on your mom to go to bat for you when things are really bad. And Mark was saying, oh, not my mom. No
I don't
way.
Think she would.
So we called Rosie and tried to suggest the serial killer scenario. You know, if there was just a scintilla of doubt, you know, would she stand up for Mark? Doesn't sound like it.
She said she would offer emotional support.
Yes.
Which I don't think I would need emotional support. If I was murdering 7 people, I think I'd be far beyond any kind of emotion.
But the true test is whether she would, you know, testify against you or not, or whether she wants you to go to prison.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, because that's really laying it on the line. Could she be the one that put you away? And mothers, of course, are allowed. You don't have to do that.
Right.
I know Julie would.
She put you away.
Take it easy. Let's not get emotional.
Totally.
If Charlotte could, she would.
Oh, we know she would. She'd flip the switch.
She'd have a blast doing it.
She'd fire the gun or flip the switch. Turn on the gas. But the other thing I found was the actual FCC complaint.
Oh, boy.
Do you want to hear?
Yeah, I do. I actually get a little queasy thinking about this.
It's from February 8th, 2004, from the FCC lawyers in D.C. And they have all this stuff that we have to go through in the FCC actual letter that they sent to the station. But the very, very end is the letter the FCC received from the Right to Decency Incorporated.
Oh.
That's who filed that complaint.
Who are they?
I don't know.
Do they have a P.O. box or do they have an address?
P.O. box in Fraser, Michigan.
So imagine how they're coping with all this today.
Yes.
They're probably losing.
Decency is really sort of, there's not a shred of it, right?
You know, we were talking about how many complaints we had, and you were saying this is our only complaint.
This is the only action that was taken. I mean, I'm sure there were more complaints.
Well, there was one. I thought this one got far for some reason. I thought this woman actually got, I thought she got her complaint heard because she had a P.O. box in Troy. And she was a pro-lifer.
Yeah, I know exactly.
And she thought we were pro-abortion. It was nothing to do with the material we were talking about.
First off, no one's pro-abortion. No one's like, yes, more abortions. Yes. Pro-choice.
She was, I'm sorry. She was pro-life, and she thought we were pro-choice.
Yeah.
Some people are probably pro-abortion. There's probably a few. I don't know why. They just think the planet's overpopulated.
You know, maybe there was another one, because I don't think this is the Evan Longoria one.
Man.
Well, the FCC read a number of things. They knew a lot about our show.
Yeah. Enclosed, please find 2 audio tapes that we have labeled tape 1 and tape 2.
Clever.
Do you think they enjoyed it at any point?
These
the complainers?
Oh,
no,
yeah,
the tapes that they had to listen to.
Oh, the FCC?
I bet somebody got a chuckle or two. There were some good laughs in there.
Hey, what if you actually made a fan? Well, the FCC. Because they listen to your show all the time.
Listen to the podcast right now.
Well, Drew has a story about that. Remember the complaints down in Carolina you had, and then the guy listened to and admitted that was funny?
Yeah. Well, he was in a room. It was somebody I'd taken a tape recorder to. I don't think it was a DAT player either. I think it was a cassette player, because this was 1987. And I took a DAT player to the Bring Back the Baker's Club after Jim and Tammy had been booted out.
He'd raped
Jessica Hahn. And they'd taken these giant bonuses out of PTL, and it was become apparent it was a Ponzi scheme. I mean, he was busted. Jerry Falwell taking over. Anyway, this little group called themselves the Bring Back the Baker's Club, and they were these women who all talk like this, and they love Jim Tammy. God wants them to have gold-plated faucets. God wants them to have air-conditioned doghouse for their dog. I think it's great. They all talk like that. Great. And so went down there and was asking them a lot of questions about, you know, so what do you think, you know, do you think Jim, it was really kind of rough because they just didn't want to hear these questions. Like, so what do you think happened with Jim and Jessica Hahn? Do you think that he raped her? Or do you think it was consensual lovemaking? You know, stuff like that. And they would not really answer the question at all. But anyway, once it was chopped up, it was gold. It was funny. So this one guy had bought a schedule for, I think it was $20,000, which is a big schedule in 1987. And he said he's pulling the schedule in protest over that bit.
Really?
Yeah, he thought it was outrageous that there's a lot of PTL people and, you know, they shouldn't be made fun of. You know, it's sad what's happened with Jim and Tammy, blah, blah, blah. And I was making a mockery of it. So after a lot of discussion and a lot of pissing and moaning from sales managers at me, I mean, I was really in the doghouse there for a while, even though I was unbowed. It was like, are you kidding me? You got to be fucking kidding me. How could anybody, first of all, say that wasn't funny, topical, everything? And how could anybody stand up for these imbeciles? You got to be kidding me. So anyway, because they'd lost the sale, and the girl that lost the sale, who's bawling, by the way, actually crying.
Oh, no.
Tears.
Hmm.
A couple times, at least a couple times.
Really? I might know her. Keep going.
So anyway, they decided they were going to have a meeting with the managers and with the PD, with me, the GM, and the client.
Oh.
So I was like, okay. I was actually starting to think there's a possibility of being blown out. I mean, really starting to have that feel like, really? Ooh, this is really bad. I didn't think it was that bad. Fuck. Because I thought people would just go, this guy's an asshole. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
He's a complete ass.
That's kind of the stance they're supposed to take.
Yeah, they're supposed to take, but when you're a new station and you're not making money yet and you spent a lot promoting it. I mean, that's sort of the way it's supposed to be. But anyway, I was getting concerned. In the meeting, when the tape started playing, because they decided, let's play the bit. Let's see, is it really that bad? Well, people started laughing. And I don't think anybody was trying to laugh. I think they really wanted to listen to him. People started laughing. And then a lot of people started laughing. And then I said, he was laughing. He was laughing. And his assistant was laughing before he was. So anyway, when the tape ended, He started to apologize and said that, yes, it was funny, that actually he couldn't afford the buy.
Oh,
that he wasn't
really
selling as many cars as he thought he was, and he'd overextended himself. And I mean, really, this like sort of turned into this sob story. Oh. And I was like, half of me wanted to go punch him and half of me wanted to go hug him. Because it was really, I mean, I felt sorry for him. It was pathetic, and it was stupid that he did that. Yeah. I think he just thought it was something he could say to get his money back.
Huh.
Oh. And he never dreamed that it was going to take on a life like that. And I think he even said that. You know, I didn't want him to get in trouble. I mean, it wasn't his fault.
You know, I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't know you were so sensitive. Sorry if I offended you.
That's really cool, though. You defended your position and your material, and you won.
Yeah, well, because he was honest, though.
People thought it was funny.
Yeah,
the bit won. I mean, it was ridiculous, though. I mean, he never should have gotten to that point. The station should have said, you know, and they should always say that. Because once you give someone that power, you're saying, oh, yeah, you help us program our station. This is great.
Yeah.
Just like has happened to Channel 4 now. Sam Riddle's helping them make personnel decisions.
Yep.
Yeah, he's in the office next to Marla.
Yeah, give him an office. Why
next
not?
To Marla. I think it's ridiculous, though. The Sam Riddle thing?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I can't believe Sam Riddle. Yeah. First of all, I can't believe he has the audacity, the balls, after he gets a second chance at life.
He's
out there excoriating somebody else, saying they must be fired.
He's so clearly an opportunist who wants this 15 minutes of fame. He wants national attention for this. He knows with this Trump fever it'll happen. I went in this morning and I dug up old Sam Riddle from a couple years ago. And I was like pissed at him for saying this because he's, you know, guess who he wants to give a second chance to, but won't give one to Lauren.
Oh, don't tell me.
I don't think we should joke or play about God because God does not play around. And it's no joking matter.
Don't get me wrong.
I got you wrong.
People are praying for this to be behind us. Praying for the Kilpatricks is not praying for Detroit.
Look, everyone is redeemable. What Kwame did was clearly wrong. Look, I wallowed in that cesspool. I know that a lot of us chose wrong over right. But to bring our city back on an even keel, to move in the right path.
Which is, Kwame is redeemable. So let him, you know, drive the car again. And
that makes me so sick.
Forgive him.
He wants to give somebody a second chance. See, he clearly has a different attitude when it comes to stealing money, stealing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousand dollars from a city that's going bankrupt. That's okay.
Yeah. From but the one, people who live in that city.
Exactly. But one word, which, by the way, a lot of people use with no penalty. That doesn't make it right. We all know that. But that is one of the problems with that word. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of white people walking around going, hey, black people are using that word all the time. I want to use that fucking word. It's not usually why they use it. But nonetheless, it's another little bone of contention. She fucked up.
Yeah.
And she was punished. This is my problem. She was punished by her employer. But apparently that wasn't enough.
6 months ago. And also, you know, so the Sam Riddle thing is horrible. But what about this person who apparently overheard it or was there, who goes to work somewhere else and decides, you know, that punishment wasn't enough. I think I'm going to talk to some black activist in Detroit and see if they can get the punishment that I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
What if people, who are these people? Why do they think they have the power to do this? What is that?
And we've heard that person allegedly had a little incident at their previous job before they got to Channel 4, too, which apparently was all forgiven. A little fight with a female.
See, I didn't.
That's all alleged.
Would have caused great bodily harm.
Well, what was it? Allegedly. What was the alleged incident, by the way?
Let me read it. I don't.
By the way, they described him in the article.
And we're not talking about anybody by name, so don't worry about it.
It's already made me.
There's an incident where he allegedly threw an office chair at a female producer in a newsroom in a different market.
Oh.
Allegedly.
So if Lauren had thrown a chair at a guy, she'd be fine.
Yeah. She'd be all right. Yeah.
But one word.
And supposedly, according to the article I was reading, it was not exactly worded the way it was posted as having been worded.
Well, that's another distressing element of this, is that we don't know what she said. We've heard one thing, but we've heard that that's not exactly accurate.
They've admitted that she had said something that was bad enough because she was punished, but just not enough to his liking. I can't believe they still went through with the protest. After she resigned, they still went through with the... Well,
by the way, I had...
At that point, they have to lots follow of attention. Through. Do you see how many people are at that protest?
No.
Maybe like 10?
Why is it covered then? Did anyone cover it?
It wasn't on either newscast. You know, I saw it on his Twitter, a picture from his Twitter, and I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, that's about 10.
Well, you know what? I am so proud.
Oh, we have a protester.
I'm so proud of our media for not covering it. Do we have the 5 o'clock yet? Why don't we try 7 or 8?
They covered her resignation last night.
They referred to Sam Riddle as a media teacher.
Yeah.
A media teacher.
I guess he's got some gig.
Really? Who hired the felon?
I don't know. Isn't that interesting, though?
Yeah.
Lauren Podell will not find a job anytime soon. But Sam Riddle has a job.
Always.
As a teacher.
Always.
A fucking teacher? A guy that takes bribes is teaching? Really?
Went to prison? And would forgive Kwame for all the money that was taken out of the city of Detroit, all the wrong that was done there.
Yeah, they opened with it. Do you want to see how they covered it?
Yeah. By the way, Rob Walchek's story is just really funny. The Hall of Shame. Where's the Hall of Shame, by the way? Let me go visit the Hall of Shame.
It's in Rob's house.
He's going to take some family members over and make it a day. Some of the kids, nephews and stuff, nieces.
It's right next to the Fame or Shame
Monday
room.
After a former television
kids love the Hall of Shame.
For WDIV resigned, Detroit Police Chief James Craig is sharing his opinion.
Troubling day. Troubling.
Lauren Podell is accused of using racial slurs such as the N-word back on Easter weekend while reporting on a crime story in the city of Detroit. The allegation surfaced earlier this week, which led to a huge uproar in our city, leading to a resignation on Wednesday.
This report failed the people who live, work, and play in the city of Detroit.
The chief has a live Facebook chat he calls Real Talk. This week it took place at the A-List Salon on Detroit's west side.
A reporter made the unwise decision to use a racial epithet in reference to crime victims.
At this point, Chief Craig says it's good that Lauren Podell resigned, criminals, but he also suggests shooters. That our
we,
former
we don't know what she said.
A public apology. What would you say to any other journalist, any other police officer, any other public official who works in the city of Detroit who may have that point of view about the black community?
She wasn't a public official.
What? If you have that point of view, then you probably should reassess why you're here.
Chief Craig says he feels only station management can make this situation right, also touching on how he would be held accountable if an officer had been accused of making similar comments.
The station has some great people, and I think do it for them. Do it for the men and women who are professionals who work there.
So far, the only statement the station has released is that Lauren Podell resigned. In Detroit, Josh Landon, Fox 2 News.
But clearly, Sam Riddle,
the protest.
Sam Riddle has fired her because she was probably faced with resign or you're fired.
I'd be interested to know how she was punished 6 months ago.
Sure.
Just out of curiosity. But nobody's going to, we're never going to know that.
Pretty awkward. Horrible.
Yeah, no, it's really bad. And it's not that she didn't do something wrong either. I'm not trying to let her off the hook. It's just that
we don't really know what it was, though.
No, there's that. And then there's the idea that somebody on the outside is deciding the punishment. It's just like what we're talking about people that complain about things they don't like on the radio. When you satisfy them and you say, okay, it'll never run again, or we're going to apologize for that, then you're saying, thanks for helping program the radio station.
I agree.
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, they should be thanking Sam for helping them make their personnel decisions.
He's
because
a media
he did.
Teacher.
He's a media teacher.
He's a media teacher. Mm.
There isn't anyone out there that hasn't been in prison that could do that?
Apparently. Yeah.
They've run out of all the people without criminal records. And, you know, Sam,
I want to take his classes, though. I really do. Where's he getting
I'm sure
classes?
He'll learn a lot.
I'm sure I will.
It'd be interesting to hear about anybody. Know anybody in one of his classes? I'd love to hear about that. Wonder how much he's paid for that.
Well,
he's going to be on Let It Rip tonight. So.
Oh, really? Oh.
I'm sure he'll be completely reasonable.
there's the protest. So that's 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay, maybe 15.
Wow. Is there a megaphone?
Well,
there is a megaphone. That's like one of the first things.
You don't need a megaphone for 15 people.
One of the signs says, we want justice. We want justice? What was the crime that was committed?
Wow. It's...
And then another one says media justice. I mean, she lost her job. You got justice.
Well,
hate must go. I agree with that. I'm not a fan of hate. Nobody likes hate.
No, me either. But
it's interesting that they seem to have a lot of hate going towards her.
It's a lot of this is a lot of what continues to divide the races, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, it's divisive, and it's continuing this divisive behavior that's fomenting all of this crap that's going down now.
I mean, how much do we talk about race? It's like the only thing in the world. I'm not saying it's not important or that we shouldn't talk about it, but it's always shit like this.
She admits she's wrong. It's just the apology and the punishment wasn't accepted or wasn't good enough for certain people. So then
it was a private
circle.
It was a private moment. It wasn't public. It wasn't on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was handled. Somebody decided they didn't like the way it was handled. So somebody has butted in. It's just, I swear, since social media, it seems like people just think they have so much power.
They do.
Apparently they do.
It's easier for people to mobilize, even if you can only get 15 people to a protest.
Because the guy who, you know, also worked at Channel 4, apparently, for a while, he didn't like the punishment. He didn't think it was enough. So he calls Sam Riddle, and Sam Riddle took care of it because he makes personnel decisions.
It was my understanding he told somebody at Channel 7, and then they went to Sam Riddle in this... this reverend.
Oh.
That's how I thought.
Channel 7 didn't like it either. Gee, I wonder, what do they have in this whole thing? Maybe get rid of somebody else's good reporter?
Well, or at least make the other station look worse.
It's even more disgusting.
I know.
Oh, what a tangled web.
Yeah.
What a tangled web we weave. When we wish to deceive. Is that how that goes?
Whoa. Is that Shakespeare, man?
I don't know
That's
what
pretty
it is.
Pretty deep.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Mm.
So back to the complaint.
Yeah, the FCC complaint.
The right to decency. So yeah, tape one and tape two, two separate radio segments, which both aired on Tuesday, December 23rd. That's what hurt us. Is that they
December 23rd?
Yeah, they would have been best ofs.
What are we doing working? Oh, best ofs. Yeah, it's always best ofs.
Between the hours of 6 and 10 in the Detroit metropolitan listening area, the radio show is the Drew and Mike Show on WRIF, owned by Greater Media Broadcasting. The station's location is blah, 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 blah. Important note, the December 23rd Drew and Mike Show was the last live broadcast before the holidays. You think so?
Well, they shouldn't have had us working, clearly. We're working so close to the holiday. What kind of sweatshop is this?
Drew and Mike, this doesn't sound right. Drew and Mike were playing segments. They had chosen to be what they thought were the hottest episodes of 2003. I think it was just the best of. Therefore, the following two segments are actually previously played sometime in the year 2013. Tape A, or tape one, side A, approximately 60 minutes long. Topic discussed. Receiving HJs, hand jobs, at local strip clubs. That sounds like a winner to me.
It was. It was a huge winner. There were some hilarious stories in there, including a guy who got one sitting next to his grandfather. Yep.
When you begin to play tape one for the first 2.5 to 3 minutes, disc jockeys Drew and Mike have a general discussion with each other about men receiving H jobs at, quote, booby bars, which... My first thought was, we never would have said booby bars.
I know, should have said titty bars.
And in parentheses, says, they refer to them as gentlemen clubs. Oh. So why are they calling them booby bars? I'm going to file a complaint against them for using that phrase.
Creeps.
As they begin to take the first call from a listener, one of them announces the time of 6:28 a.m. at the WRAF with Drew and Mark. Drew and Mike.
No, not at the WRAF. No one said that. Jesus.
Within the next 13 minutes, the number of callers is believed to be 8 males.
Wow, that's good.
Phone into the WRAF radio station to discuss their HJ handjob sexual experiences with Drew and Mike.
All a lie.
When the final caller phones in, a portion of his story is bleeped out. One of the disc jockeys does an explanation of the bleeped conversation to get the idea across. This is a reference to ATM, which means anus-to-mouth sexual activity. It's not anus, by the way. It's ass.
That's right.
Oh, they also wrote, I'm sorry, they wrote, this is a reference to an ATM. They really like their articles, don't they?
Sheesh.
E and an and a. Tape two, side A only, approximately 30 minutes long. Topic discussed. Hottest female fantasies. Wait. Hottest fantasies females have while masturbating.
Sweet.
Wow.
Hey, by the way, this is a very unspecific complaint. I thought you had to complain about something specific over a very short period. You couldn't just give them an hour of tape.
They did.
Have the FCC decide what's illegal in there.
They did.
And some
bullshit.
Information was incorrect.
It's probably why we didn't get
disqualified.
What's probably? Oh, very possible. No, it's possible. You're right.
It could be something as simple as that. Because if you remember, was it Dominski and Doyle that got in trouble and got fined?
Oh, yeah. That was a big deal.
Those were very specific phrases and words they used.
Right. And very easy to isolate, so.
Exactly. So topic discussed, hottest fantasies females have while masturbating. Tape two begins with WRAF call letters, and then Drew and Mike tell listeners to, quote, get ready for the hottest 29 minutes of 2003. I don't ever remember anybody saying something like that.
Nice tease.
Then to keep the tape unedited, you will hear a 1 minute segment regarding a fight and the legal problems of Jack White and the group The White Stripes. This 1 minute segment is not part of our complaint.
Huh. Well.
Okay. Drew and Mike then begin taking
the Jason Stolzheimer thing?
Yeah, it has to be.
Okay.
The Von Bondies. They begin taking calls from believed to be 9 female. Women listeners, for the next 29 minutes, it's described in detail what causes them, the females, to masturbate, or what these women fantasize about while masturbating. After the final person called in, named Melissa.
Whore!
Is that really germane?
The harlot?
One disc jockey asks her to hold on so they can speak privately. I wonder who that was. The disc jockey then says, I think we'll I think we'll end this on a high note. At this point, the segment then ends with the station announces their call letters and the show's names. Thank you for your immediate attention to our complaint. We would like to know how WRF can broadcast a show with subject matter like this during the 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. time frame when children may be listening.
Oh!
Please contact our office.
Children! Always the children!
I know.
The children are always watching. They're always listening.
And then it's funny, they black out like the name, like whoever sent it. But, you know, with the internet, you can find out exactly who these people are.
Is it offensive? You tell me. Oh,
no.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's what's insane about it, is the inability to even know who complained.
Yeah.
But it's really easy to find out now. These are, I believe, the same people that filed the complaint against Dominski and Doyle and Kramer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Oh, the fucking radio police.
Yeah, because their nonprofit, you know, the Bentley Library at Michigan keeps a bunch of stuff, so you can see the whole list of things that these people have on file there, so you can see all their complaints they sent to the FCC.
Jay does have their phone number, by the way.
Yeah, I think they're defunct, actually. According to one thing I found,
they had to give up fighting for decency.
What do you suppose they did?
Decency finally prevailed.
Well, I wonder what supported them. How they raised money for this cause. Running around taping radio shows.
It was out of a church in Sterling Heights, so they probably got donations.
Oh.
Oh, you know, one of the
best use of their donations, instead of helping people, helping poor people.
I got to find out this. Right? They were an actual registered company. Yeah, it says it was dissolved recently.
Oh.
But one of them had their annual revenue, and it's between $200 and $500.
So oh, wow.
$200 and $500, wow. Yeah. What an operation.
It was a labor of love. Oh, no, $100 to $500.
There was a media person involved in that group, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
A born again.
Yep.
Oh. I thought it just sounded like somebody who had a grudge against one particular company, because two complaints against...
Well, you can see...
Dominski and Doyle were on Greater Media?
No,
97.1.
Yeah, KRP.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought maybe it was just against Greater Media.
No, they also had a couple other complaints, too. So,
against other people?
Yeah. Let me find the list.
Oh, well, at least they spread it around a little bit.
Marlinga, I guess, was on their board for a while.
Oh, you remember Marlinga?
Yeah, sure. Carl?
Carl. Carl,
good to see you. Okay. Campaign for Decency, 85 to 2005. They were diligent in keeping notes, reports, and clippings about this issue, and there's all these lists, ones being John Johns and Warren. Apparently they weren't fond of John Johns.
Oh, somebody infiltrated John Johns?
Yeah.
When they got an HJ, find out what it was like.
There's one that's McDonald's for their Wayne's World promotion in 1993.
Why?
Noir leather.
Because of Schwing?
Maybe. The Last Temptation of Christ. They had a problem with that movie. And then radio, yeah. KRK Kramer and Twitch, 2001, 2003. Tom Likas, 2000, 2001. And then Dominski and Doyle.
I have to agree with the Tom Likas one.
I'm going to put it right on the line. There have been a lot of complaints already.
So, I'm glad I held on to that. That was fun. Those are fun times.
That was actually, I would suggest that was a very good show. I remember when it first aired, the guys getting HJs. It wasn't that we just decided to take calls about guys taking HJs. We were talking about groups going with people when something, you know, when something extracurricular breaks out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what it sort of morphed into.
Well, if anybody has those stories, email them and we'll read them now.
There were some pretty, they were very funny, though, because you just, it's so awkward when somebody's getting action at the table. There's other people at the table.
Grandpa's.
That was what was great about the stories.
Well, clearly, apparently it was the hottest stories of 2003.
You've never given a blowjob?
Well, the female fantasies were very hot.
That's pretty hot,
I recall.
Yeah. That's right. That's what, yeah.
Not that was a public service, because whoever wants to talk about that or cares.
Yeah, where do you get access to that kind of information?
Yeah.
It's a health issue.
It is. Mental health.
That's why we never got fined.
Now, where's the Evan Longoria complaint?
I don't have that. I don't know where it is.
This must be the one. This is the one I was referring to.
It had to be.
Yeah. Okay.
And the tapes got sent in.
Wow.
Now, I remember. They sent tapes around to advertisers to.
Yeah.
That was earlier. That was like 96.
I remember. I don't. Whatever. Whenever it was, I remember one of the advertisers giving us the tape. Because they so didn't care.
They were angry. Actually, a lot of them were pissed. They were angry because somebody in the business of radio, and I'm in the industry, was trying to fuck us over by getting advertisers, by sending out unrepresentative tapes. They were taking like the bluest pieces of any show and editing them together. There was no context at all. And they were saying, you're spending your money on this show? And then they would leave the tape with them. But the people that they were leaving the tapes with were all people who were already on the show. They knew the show. They liked the show. They knew it wasn't killing anyone.
Nice implying that you're not doing your job as the media purchaser.
Exactly.
You know, you're seeing results.
That's one of the reasons I'm sure people were pissed off. But they also were pissed off because they liked the show and they felt it was being misrepresented. They knew they were doing this to other people, too. So, and, you know, would they do it if the show was in 20th place? Would they have bothered?
No. They wouldn't even know.
Yeah, that was another, I think that was spearheaded by another God Squatter, by the way, at an AM, a particular AM station.
Yeah. Really? Oh, totally was.
Yep.
Oh, that reminds me that, back to Sam Riddle, he was actually on Superstation today.
Really?
He was on 910?
Yes.
Wait, Sam Riddle was on 910? Was he hosting? I'm just guessing.
He was hosting. Once again, I was on his Twitter page, him behind a mic at 910.
Oh, boy. What was it? One of these things where, you know, I'll be on 910 from...
I think it was somebody else's show.
Okay.
Oh, was it?
I thought I saw somebody else in the studio. I think it was...
Oh, whatever.
It was a guest star.
Well, if you ask me, the 910 a.m. thing sounds like such a debacle. Would they get a 0.1 share?
Well, they were ranked last in the last book. Well, actually, they didn't even show up in the last monthly. They only showed up in 3 of the previous 12.
Although they don't pay people, so maybe...
Of course not.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, speaking of...
I would say that station's running on a deficit, though, considering the amount of advertising they have.
Yeah, but they don't pay their talent. I mean, I guess they're supposed to sell... I can't imagine Monica Conyers out there selling her radio show.
Can't imagine someone buying ad time from Monica.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be people that somehow have been given favors or... You know, there'll be some ugly connection between all the business and the advertising, I predict.
Speaking of her.
Somebody by the name of Monica Conyers.
She lost a kid.
Yes, that's right. Carl Conyers is missing. And, you know, I'm not making fun of anybody here. I mean, obviously, you don't want to hear somebody looking for their child. This is a terrible story. The good thing is, though, he's been missing since Tuesday. That's not a terribly long time, but apparently it's long enough to... be concerned. They feel he should be somewhere by now, and you know, who knows what's going on there.
It's in Texas, so it's not around here.
Yeah,
but
it was being suggested that it might be politically motivated. I can't see that. I just can't imagine.
Motivated?
Yeah, because John Conyers is a senator.
That makes no what? No, really?
I'm not going with that.
What, like they're gonna extort?
Nobody in Texas gives a crap about John Conyers.
Not at all.
There was a very smart ass.
Think comment. John's down there searching for him?
Yes, John is clearly down there,
really hitting the ground, looking around.
Remember, they
checking out all the
when they first got married. They used to use their aides, congressional aides, as babysitters.
Certain bars, huh? I'm sorry, I was thinking about John searching.
Oh, sorry, Mark. You were going somewhere.
Allegedly.
He's got that covered.
Allegedly.
they were using babysitters from...
Their congressional aides, paid for by the U.S. government and the taxpayer, and they were supposed to be working on their policy, and they were babysitting the Conyers kids.
Unbelievable.
Well, remember, they were driving them. There's probably this kid. He was getting driven to the private schools out in the suburbs, right?
Carlita Kilpatrick doing the same thing. Those little big-headed boys were being delivered to suburban schools, weren't they? Wasn't that the story?
I think so.
Yeah, the Conyers kids, that was a more celebrated story, for sure. Carlita was more about her shopping in Ferndale and Royal Oak. And
Birmingham. Remember they would block off a parking spot for her?
Yes. Yeah, she just parked and she blocked a whole alley and some cop complained. And said, do you know who I am?
Yeah, and they had Detroit cops with them, too.
Yeah.
Wow. He always had a whole group of police with him.
That was disgusting. All that stuff was grotesque.
Like, why do you get it?
I am just so happy the way that ended up because you knew scumbaggery was going on big time. Although now, I was watching the story yesterday about the demolition program. I just can't believe this could happen so fast. And I don't know what the FBI is going to decide, but you know the FBI, they're looking at it. Mm-hmm. And Charlie's got people flipping on people who've, you know, already maybe resigned from their jobs. talking and singing and who knows? This thing might, I don't know.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah. But you might have more people in this case taking maybe plea arrangements than the Kilpatrick deal, because a lot of those people just were inclined to fight. Kwame would never take a deal, which was a big mistake because he could have gotten 10 years.
Well, that, I would say, didn't Kwame go on for a lot longer time and the tentacles reached a lot different areas too, different people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where this is the land bank and, yeah.
No doubt. But, you know, going back to the, you know, that period we've been talking about, the mid-90s, whether it's the, well, the FCC complaint was actually after that, but we started to talk about it yesterday, the O.J. Simpson trial, which I think, and a lot of people think, was the thing that really sort of put the show on solid ground and was just all pretty much uphill or sideways from there, which was all good because we'd, you know, really broken through with some big numbers. But was there anything true to you thought? I mean, Mike Clark always, John Bobbitt is the one thing. When John Bobbitt came, that was the turning point, which I always, as I've said before, it always pisses me off because he was there for one fucking day.
And he gets all, Bobbitt gets all the credit.
Yeah, and it's like John Bobbitt did it. We had nothing to do with it. If he'd gone to LLC, they'd be talking about it right now. It was great, though. I mean, Bobbitt was great, and we had massive TV coverage from that, and the newspapers were there, and it was great.
So much so that video lives on. And got Clark bummed out for years because he had his mullet that he hated after
all.
Oh,
yeah.
So this is old, you know. He didn't like the way he looked in it.
Right. Well, that Cato Kalin visit to Royal Oak Music Theater also.
Oh, maybe that's the one. You're right. That's the one I'm thinking of, Drew. I'm sorry. It was the Cato,
okay. Not
the Cato
Bobbitt
visit that lives on. Yeah.
Yeah, it was on a VH1 show.
Yeah.
A really stupid, mindless show where they just threw together a bunch of clips and tried to unify them by some dumb theme. And yeah, Mike.
It was so bummed.
He had really long hair, and that thing would air all the time.
Oh. Trudy, I was trying to tell Drew yesterday to tell him. Do you remember when Drew was gone, we did the group photo shot for Mike in the Morning, and he didn't like any of them, so we had to redo the group photo shot?
Yeah.
Just redo them.
How many times did we have to go back and reshoot that?
I think we did it just the two times, but he's very picky about his appearance, Drew.
Oh, yeah. It was... It was pretty funny. And I had like the cyclorama in the background. Spruce up and lighting. And
I know.
Yeah.
How about that? Did you guys see the David Copperfield picture Joey put up? We all look really weird. It's the weirdest picture.
Oh my God.
That's a good picture.
That,
oh, you're turning into Mike.
I know, but I had his mullet.
Everyone just looks strange.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a real, a huge makeover. I don't think I really had a makeover, but everybody else sure did.
Or should have. I mean, as you know, when you look at your pictures, though, in the context of time, it's always
horrifying.
Well, I think there was a. I think a lot of things about appearance and hair and eyebrows and things like that just weren't in the mix then.
Right.
You know, not that that was necessarily the issue, but. It seems like there's a lot about grooming that has been good.
Yeah.
In the last 15 years or so.
It's gone a really natural direction, but back then we had to like have this, you know, crimped hair and that stupid dress. I remember picking something like that out thinking, "Oh, I need to wear a dress for David Copperfield." What the why? That's what kills me about some of my old pictures is that I'm always wondering about my wardrobe choices.
Well, yeah, you do. Apparently, you take a long time to decide too. At 2:45 in the morning, which I can't get over that.
That's why I need. Well, I also do show prep too. While I'm up that early, but that's why I just need to wear a uniform like an orange jumpsuit or something like that, which saves so much time.
An orange jumpsuit?
Well, but you know, something. We all should just have the futuristic uniform.
It's like a jumpsuit.
A jumpsuit, yeah. Like
the futuristic uniform, I like. Yeah.
Like a white one. A white, you know, that looks really futuristic.
All the girls wear the white jumpsuit and all the guys wear something else?
Yeah.
I do like the idea because then there'd be no decisions involved.
Yeah,
it'd be very simple.
Nothing.
And everyone flies nude.
And fly nude.
For safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
God, is that funny? Would that, can you imagine what would happen to the airline industry if everyone had to fly nude? First of all, it would be so fast. The efficiency would be amazing.
No security. Well, they might have to look in your butt or something.
Yeah, butt cheeks.
They make it quick, though.
Right.
How would you like that job? You're the guy that's looking at everyone's butthole and vagina. Sorry, Trudy. You have two hiding places.
I just won't fly.
That's what's going to happen. The industry will be really hurt. Although some people, the people that think they're so hot, they'll be arranging extra flights.
That's right.
They'll be flying all over the place just
can't
to fly.
Enough.
Just to be nude in the airport
around
other
people. Some people can see him nude.
I saw his butthole.
That's funny.
Skin is coming up in a few minutes. I guess we should wrap up part one and start part two with Skin. We'll just be a couple minutes late and... it'll work out better, because otherwise part one will go way over and we'll screw up both
part
parts.
Part two will be mad.
Yeah, part two will be pissed. So we're going to do that. We'll wrap it up. We'll have Mr. Skin in part two and a little more reminiscing and also some stuff that's going on. I guess we kind of wrapped up Lauren Podo. We might, maybe a little more on that. There's a couple other things, too, and a bunch of national stories as well. So, oh, and the Toy Hall of Fame. Mark's been clamoring to get the Toy Hall of Fame on. Also, is there more in your box that you brought in?
No, that's pretty much all. I found a lot of old cassette tapes from like 96 from when I taped the show. And then I have a lot of debts, but the best of is just gone poof. Like all the big archive. I don't know where that's at.
Oh, yeah, I think I know where it is.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I don't have it. I
forgot about that. Yeah.
I heard rumors of where it's possibly being held.
Is it being ransomed?
No.
Yeah,
not yet.
Held for ransom.
We'll see. So we'll see in part two. Thanks again to Trudy from 94.7 WCSX. I keep forgetting your plugs in. Trudy is off tomorrow, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, well.
What do you do when you're off at CSX? Jim
off?
Do the show, or does somebody else do it?
Jim does the show.
She doesn't care. She's off.
Yeah, shouldn't be. Should not be your problem when you're off.
I lost track of vacation time. I didn't take any, and so now I'm trying to grab some stuff before the end of the year.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Trudy has almost more vacation time than there's time left in the year.
There is.
Wow.
Oh, it's true. Oh, my God. That with the holiday that you get off, I almost can't take enough days off.
So next week, are you off Friday, too? Oh, next week is Black Friday.
Yep.
Are you off Wednesday?
Thanksgiving? Nope.
No?
Nope, because Keegan-Michael Key is going to be in.
Oh, cool.
We've got that happening.
That's pretty sweet.
And so given a choice between meeting him... you know, the guy from Key and Peele.
Can you bring him by the base?
I want to do that. I really do. I wonder if I could hijack him. Yeah, for sure. God, he's such a cool, funny guy. So,
Trudy at 94.7 WCSX, and we'll be back with part two. See you.